Welcome to Smart Branding, a podcast dedicated to branding, naming, and domain names. I'm Tatiana Bonneau, and with my guests, we try to help you create and grow strong, memorable, and meaningful brands online. I believe time is one of our most precious assets, and so I want to thank you in advance if you decide to spend the next 30 minutes with us. I promise to do my best to make those worth it. Let's go.
So my guest today is Lynn Whitbeck. She's the CEO and founder of Petite to Queen, where she helps entrepreneurs improve their sales, client retention, conversion, and ultimately profit. So we're going to talk about Lynn, her process, what she does, how can it help our listeners. But first, thank you for making the time, Lynn. It's a pleasure having you with us here.
Oh, Tatiana, it's such a pleasure for me to be here. Thank you so much.
Let's start with my classic first question. Tell me a little bit about yourself and how did you get to do what you do today?
Well, you know, I love sales and I've been selling since I was a Girl Scout selling cookies.
Oh, wow.
and so I ended up through my career, then corporate sales, where I was literally being flown all over the world to close multi-million dollar deals. And now business owners and entrepreneurs hire me to help with their sales, to work out their sales strategy so they can have a repeatable, consistent process to grow their business. And it's just amazing because I get to help people who then help other people. So it's just this ripple effect.
Wonderful. That's quite funny. I mean, when you said selling cookies, and I think it's interesting you mentioned that because a lot of people don't have that. Like when you say sales and people feel like it's, you know, it's something like almost, yeah, exactly that. But when, as you just said, you know, selling cookies when you're a kid, and I had an example recently, one of my daughters was saying, oh, we got those, it was some kind of a sweets. I don't know, she put together some money with her friends and they got them and sold them for, you know, with a profit to their friends. And it's something we naturally do. Like, and even you can take it even further and say, if you want to convince somebody to do something for you, that's sales as well.
Sales is in every part of our business, you know, and it comes from, you know, what are we going to have for dinner, or selling your family on an idea for that, or what you're going to watch on, Netflix or whatever it happens to be. And sales is, if you look at it from a different perspective, I approach sales with worthy intent. That means I genuinely desire to help and serve the people I work with and help them create massive impact. And when you look at sales in that way, it's actually a gift. I'm giving them a gift, and it's completely addresses my value set to be of service. And way back in the day in corporate sales, when I was selling, you know, big corporate solutions, it was like I was still giving them a gift of something they didn't have to think about again, that it was off their plate, that they could be really confident it was being handled. And that was a gift. And so it's still that way. And if you think sales is icky, then you're, first of all, you've got to look at your mindset and your approach. If you truly help and serve your clients, you create massive impact, then you need to reset how you're thinking about sales.
Do you feel sales changed over time? Like since you were selling cookies up to today, and also through that, like dealing with corporate, and now you, if I understand correctly, helping sort of entrepreneurs, so it's a bit of different game altogether. How has it changed?
Well, there's certain principles around sales that never change. Real sales are about building partnerships, becoming a trusted partner. It's relationships. And when you're building relationships, that results in sales because you become that trusted confidant, a provider, a resource, and someone that they can bounce ideas off of. And this is the key part about sales, is when you look at it differently. And our strongest business relationships and personal relationships are those that are built on trust and respect. And, you know, when that comes together, that's when you really create a lot of wins for both of you.
I love the way that you mentioned trust. And as I deal with domain names as brand assets, and one of the key points where that we oftentimes discuss with entrepreneurs when it comes to getting the right domain name for their business, getting a domain name that is perfectly matching their brand name, so that people don't have to second guess where to find them. And trust, like, that word comes up a lot, because, you know, every time somebody struggles to find you, or they end up getting scammed because, you know, like, it's not clear what your domain name is, or you didn't take the care and effort to protect your brand, so somebody else started, you know, abusing that and, like, getting their data, their emails, et cetera, et cetera. All rotates around trust. So, on that, what are your thoughts and what is your experience in terms of where this branding, naming, and domain names as part of that come into that process?
Well, normally I work with someone after they have a brand name and that's already well established. And so, you know, and I understand if you're starting with somebody fresh as to where that goes and what happens with that. And I'm absolutely not an expert in any of that. When I work with clients, I'm really focusing on their products and services, what it is they deliver, and then really getting into their client why. Why does this matter to them? You know, what do they want, need, or lack? What's in it for them? You know, what does it help them achieve? You know, so they can what? So they can what? What's the goal? What's the initiative? What's the dream? And that's really sort of my starting point, because I'm already inheriting that they've got a company name and they've got a brand. Now, I do see people who've done things that are really sloppy, in the sense that they haven't maintained, like, a specific brand look and feel and tone. So they've got inconsistent branding, like with colors or fonts or all of the above, or imagery. And so being really attentive to that is important. And I go over that when I'm talking about making a presentation, whether you're doing it, you know, live on a stage, if you're doing it in on a summit, or if you're doing it in front of a client, having a presentation that's closely aligned with your brand and your values and your mission is really important, because if it's a hot mess, people immediately start going to war with you in their mind, you know, because they look at it and they're going, like, this image is skewed. There's six different fonts on this page. It's just literally, it's like, if you can't even put together a decent presentation, how are you going to manage my business?
Absolutely.
I mean, and it's almost subconscious, and it's you're actually taking away your credibility and your capability and how competent you are, because your presentation is a hot mess. So that correlates to everything you do in your brand. And staying close with that in your branding is so vitally important, so that it's that consistency and people know what to expect. They know what they're going to get. Sort of like you go into a Starbucks. You can go to Starbucks pretty much anywhere in the world and you know what you're going to get when you get your latte.
Yeah, that's very much what a brand is. And it's crazy to think how many people forget that. Like you just said, I like the expression you use of hot mess. It's good.
Oh, I definitely see that.
Yeah, and it's actually, like you said, I think a lot of people don't even consciously think about it, but it is exactly as you said what happens when you start seeing things that don't match, that are fragmented, that don't make sense. Even if you don't consciously, you know, ask yourself those questions and answer them, it does connect those friction and disconnections, and it just hurts that whole sales process. It's funny, I'm listening to a book at the moment. I'm not going to remember neither the name or the author, I apologize for that, but it was exactly about that disconnect between sales and marketing, where, you know, you would have in a lot of companies those two departments that not even talking to each other, and it's like, how?
Exactly. I mean, sales and marketing have to be working hand in hand. And of course, I always put sales in front because sales were the rainmakers. We bring the sales in and that keeps the business running. But marketing is there to do the research and to do the messaging and the languaging and keep everything consistent and provide the tools that sales needs to be able to be more effective. And so, you know, they, yeah, and some people, of course, think marketing is more important, right? But of course, from a sales perspective, I think sales is more important.
No,
So, you
I think
know,
it's
you just come
absolutely, yeah.
together. They
It's
really come
absolutely
together.
interconnected. I don't feel you can achieve the best without those two working hand in hand, absolutely. So let's talk about your brand name. What's the story? It's quite an interesting name. I've lived quite a bit in France. My husband is French, and we actually speak French at home. So Petite, that's kind of, I was like, oh, okay, what is that about? So how did you choose that? What does it stand for?
Well, I mean, we have a great story around this. So, you know, we were trying to come up with a company name that I wanted to be really oriented towards women and supporting women. And, you know, it's really about I don't care what your gender preference is. I don't care if your hair color is purple. You know, it's really about who you are as a person. And so, really trying to encompass that. And I was just looking at the table, we were having dinner. And it was like team members of mine were petite, small, size two, size four, size six. And here I am, a queen size. And it was like petite to queen. And that was honestly, and it came out of my mouth. And I just went, oh my gosh. And we all went, wow, that's sort of, you know, great. And so I literally checked right then. The domain was available and I bought it. So, and now, that was because I really passionately feel that women should be in sales and women need sales skills. Whether you actually even work a day in sales or not, you need it in your career because you're negotiating for a pay raise, you're negotiating to get a project, you're negotiating with your team. You are selling all the time, and you need to have that skill set in your career to advance in your career. And sales is an amazing career for women, and sales skills are used in every aspect of our life.
Absolutely agree with that. And so you said the focus is on women. Tell me a bit more about your typical clients, like who can reach out to you, at what stage of their company development or personal development? What exactly is your typical client?
Well, I'd love to say I have a typical client, but a typical client is one who truly it's relationship-based business. They truly desire to help and serve their clients. Those are really a common value and belief set. But from there, they really differentiate. Sometimes I'm working with a client that's providing a service that they've never actually had a client. They've been in business, but they're still trying to build. They haven't really worked on what is the strategy and putting that in place so that they can attract clients and generate that revenue. I've also worked with more established businesses and they're at a crossroads. They feel sort of stuck, right? Also businesses that are the founder's been doing a lot of the sales activity, but he can't or she can't do any more of that. They need to bring on a sales team, but it's like, how do they train people with what they do? And it's just yet another hat that they have to wear. So it's once again developing what is their sales strategy, giving them that roadmap so that they can have people come on board and who can hit the ground running and be successful. So it really runs the gamut. It's more about the beliefs and values that attracts and that connects and people who want to create something that's going to be repeatable, that's going to be natural, that's going to fit their unique business model and personality, and let them shine and help more people.
Are there like industries that you prefer with working, or some that you like absolutely categorically wouldn't, or how do you work with that?
I do tend to work with organizations that are more service-based. I do work with some that are product-based, but they also are in more of the B2B space. So while I might work with individuals who are doing coaching, they are still coaching, tend to be coaching, you know, at a business, you know, career women or career men or individuals in that sort of arena. And it's not direct to consumer, if that makes sense. I mean, they are working directly with a consumer, but it's not the same as a true D2C model. And so I really am very astute. That's my whole background is in a B2B environment.
How what do you feel in that space then people most often get wrong? Like if you had a magic stick and you could just stop them doing, you know, let's say one or two things, what would it be?
I'm honestly, the first thing that comes to mind, there's two that are very, very tied, but it's not following up. You know, I think the stat is something like 3% of the people are ready to purchase like in that moment. And to really create traction and to have a lot of success, you need to follow up in your sales, because 80% of the sales occur from the 20% of the people who actually follow up. So they've created a strategic follow-up plan. They are working through that. They're building the relationships one building block at a time, and they're staying front of mind so that when people are ready to buy, they're the ones they contact. And, you know, those building blocks of trust have been slowly assembled, right? And, or steadily, that's a better word, steadily assembled. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that people don't think like their client. So they are not embraced their client's perspective, really understanding where their clients are at, what they're looking for, why it matters to them. What are those core pain points? What keeps them up late at night? What are their emotions that are tied up in that and the motivations? And then using that to reverse engineer what they do and how they communicate more effectively with their prospects, their future clients.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is something that I think it's universal across industries. I was like in IT before I got into domains, and now with domains as well, I'm seeing the same thing where people completely forgot that they are not their client. And you would hear like so many, you know, oh, I like that. Oh, that's okay. I'm fine with that. It's like, yeah, but it's not about you. You're not selling to yourself. Yeah. But it's crazy at all levels, like all type of businesses, all levels of success. I've seen that so much. That's just crazy. Yeah, and the other one you mentioned, as you were saying it, I thought of, I think years ago, I had an example of that with sales where somebody was saying it's like dating. Like you wouldn't go meet somebody and say, will you marry me? You know, just I'll try it. And just what you said with building relationships and the fact that it takes time and people forget it's, you know, takes time and effort and commitment.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then those become great partnerships, right? And then those clients become referral partners. They become sources of additional business. Yeah.
Have you seen, absolutely have to ask that, I ask everyone now, artificial intelligence, how have you seen it affect what you do and how?
It's a tool, once again. And if you use it smartly, then it can be very effective. So recently I used it because I wanted to create an antidote, and I was going to use the TV series Bewitched, which is an older series starring Elizabeth Montgomery. So you might still catch it on some channels. And so, but you know, cause they were, Darren, the husband was always selling and all this. So, but what I did is I put an exact description, which you write out in a Word file, and then I put it into ChatGPT Plus, and it came up with 10 episodes from the classic series. And I went through them in the descriptions, and then I found two that I could use, and I used them in an email because I'm giving a story, an anecdote that, and a lot of people have seen Bewitched, not everybody, a lot of people. And so it was the type of thing that it would, you know, it's like, oh, okay. And now I get the concept, you know, cause I was taking them through with, you know, and so it's, I use it for things like that. I've used it for movies, music lyrics, or songs that would fit this. Like if you hear this tune in your mind, this is what, you know, and so I use it in different ways to create that pathway that people can go, oh, okay. Oh, I get it. You know, so it's a story in some way, that then ties in with the lesson.
I agree with that, and I think it's a good way to do it, exactly as you said, as a tool, and it works. And what I think people should not do, and I'm sure you probably have an experience with that as well, is that like flood of emails that are just screaming that they're created with ChatGPT, and that is just so, like, I would rather have an email that's badly written by a person than something, honestly, like with all the possible mistakes, that than something that is like so obviously written by ChatGPT, or you know, variations of it's just lacks authenticity and it lacks care. It's like you don't even care as much as to, you know, put some effort in. Same with using it for marketing materials. It's just, I think maybe one day it will, you know, all get to be so good that we wouldn't be able to make the difference, but at least for now it's not there.
No, you'll never be able to take away that unique human element. And that's what makes you special. And that's that's how we constantly are more creative. That's how we even created ChatGPT, right? So you have to put your own authenticity in it. And people can absolutely tell when they're into some kind of robotic stream that has that's devoid of, you know, personality, you know, and also that human connection, and because that's what people crave. I mean, humans are, they crave human connection, you know, absolutely, not connection to hug up to their ChatGPT and whatever the AI is. And there's often the AI, you know, just doesn't get it right. You know, I mean, they're pulling stuff that's been out there for a couple of years, and it's not your unique take on anything. Now, sometimes I will ask it a specific question because I just, after I've already completely finished something, because I want to make sure I didn't miss something. It's like, oh, I never thought of that. But I never, you know, say, oh, here's thy topic, create the article. Ugh! You know, it's just a retread crap, that let alone Google's already smart enough to figure that out. You're going to be on page 1,065,000, right? So if you want to have good SEO, it's got to be written by a human being.
I think it's funny that actually, as with many things, the fact that it became so popular and there's so much content that is just blurred out all the time, it makes the value you put onto real authentic content even higher. Like you appreciate it even more because now you compare it to all the, you know, what it isn't.
Yeah, it's just the easy button. And do you want to work with somebody who's just going to hit the easy button? They don't give a dang about you. You know, they're not willing to actually invest in who you are and what you need and why it matters to you. So, you know, for me, when I see that, I do the same thing on LinkedIn. I see these robotic messages that immediately, as you said, they want to go from, we just met and we're going to meet, you know, we've just connected and now they want to get married. Right. And it's like, what? And they're just dead to me because it's like, you didn't take any effort to start a human to human conversation. You didn't take any effort. And they ask you sometimes really stupid questions. Well, tell me about your business. And it's like, oh yeah, you didn't take 5 minutes to look at my LinkedIn profile and look at my website. Hello. I mean,
absolutely.
And so the people that there's probably 99% I don't even respond to. They're just literally dead to me. And it's the people who actually take the effort to write a real conversation. You start a real conversation. that you can build a relationship with.
And to actually end on that note and bring it back to sales, which is, you know, our main point of conversation and what you do, as you were saying that, I'm actually realizing, do you know what I actually, like, I remember like 10, 15 years ago when you phone somebody for some service or product, or you get into a shop or whatever, like that's the start of that sales channel, and you have a salesperson. It was almost like saying a salesperson was a dirty word. And honestly, now, like, I'm craving to talk to a salesperson. I don't want any automated chats. I don't want anything. I just want to talk to a person. Just give me a person, you know, on the phone or in person. It's like the best thing. And I think we're going to see some changes in that direction, because as good as all of those automated tools are, I think everybody's getting quite sick of them. And it goes, like, even for a simple thing, because it's an algorithm that's written out in a certain way, it can't do what a person can do, say, oh, let's actually like that and take you from A to Z. It has to go through B, C, D, E, E, and at some point it's just too much. And yeah, I think we're gonna probably see, not for everything, but certainly for higher ticket items, you're just gonna talk to a person, and there's nothing that can replace that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you 110%. And as I said, we're humans. We want to make that human to connection.
Wonderful. Well, that's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. We're going to include all the ways that people can reach out to you in the write-up for the podcast. If you want to share anything, go ahead.
Oh, well, Tatiana, thank you. It's been such a pleasure. And I would say just, you can go to my website at petitetoqueen.com. There's a plethora of resources there. Got a free checklist, sales strategies, masterclasses, all kinds of things. We have a fantastic search bar. Just search the topic and you will find articles, webinars, episodes, whatever it happens to be, where I will provide you with the additional insights and maybe that spark that you are looking for to help you in your sales.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Welcome to Smart Branding, a podcast dedicated to branding, naming, and domain names. I'm Tatiana Bonneau, and with my guests, we try to help you create and grow strong, memorable, and meaningful brands online. I believe time is one of our most precious assets, and so I want to thank you in advance if you decide to spend the next 30 minutes with us. I promise to do my best to make those worth it. Let's go!